So recently, over at McDonald's across the street where they're doing the remodeling, there were two policemen that were taking their break, having their coffee and an Egg McMuffin, and they looked out and they noticed on Bunker headed west, traffic lanes were all jammed, but in the middle lane there was a woman in a car about three cars back, and she was just a little bit agitated. I mean, she was obviously in a hurry, had someplace to get to, and they were kind of noticing her. The light turned green. Well, the two cars in front of this woman didn't move quite quickly enough. You know when that happens? You know, like somebody's ahead of you and the light turns green, you're like, come on, come on, come on. Well, this woman lost it. She went nuts. She started banging on the steering wheel. She flailing around, probably doing some not nice gestures to the drivers in front of her. And the police were watching this, and as the cars in front of her started moving, she gunned her engine, almost hit the car right ahead of her. She saw a space in the lane to her left. She changed lanes, zipped into it, just flew off through the intersection down Bunker. Cops put their coffee down, jumped into their squad car, and just tore after her. They caught up with her about a mile west of here. They pulled her over, pulled her out of her car, handcuffed her, put her back to the squad car, and took her down to the station. And she's sitting there, and she's going, "What?" She was just stunned. She's like, what are you arresting me for? And they said, well, you know, we're policemen, and so we're just observing the whole scene, and we noticed on the back of your car there were a bunch of bumper stickers, and one was a Christian fish symbol, and another one was a cross, and there's one that says, I listen to KTIS, and even one we could barely read that said, follow me to Sunday school, and we just figured you stole the car. So it's hard sometimes to live a life of faith, isn't it? Especially to think about living a life outside of this place, which corporate worship here is very important, but beyond these walls, how we live a worshipful life the other 6 days of the week. So we're wrapping up this sermon series on worship, and Pastor Mark started off with talking about how a God, a loving God, just relentlessly pursues us and setting the framework for worship. Then last week, Pastor Steve talked about the dance of the liturgy, if you were here, and about how we respond back to God corporately together as a community of faith, worshiping Him. And today we're talking about worshiping God outside of this place, letting that extend out. And so I'd like to challenge us today as we think about what we do with worship, how we do that outside of this place, especially the other 6 days of this week, and then where we do worship. And you know, I got this idea last week when Pastor Steve was talking about the dance of the liturgy, so I'm going to attempt it. So I'm not a dancer, but I thought I'd just try and do a little liturgical dance to sort of demonstrate all this, all right? So work with me here. Okay, so we first learned that a loving God relentlessly pursues us, pursues our heart in love as we establish worship. And then we respond back in worship, in corporate worship to God. The dance of the liturgy, if you will. And then we go out in worship beyond these walls. How do I go? You want to see it again? No, that's okay. I'll keep my day job. But we think about that. We think about what happens when we go outside of this place. How do we do it? Where do we do it? I want to first look at the biblical principle undergirding all of this, and there's a gospel text, and it's Matthew 22, and I really want to focus in on the greatest commandment section, the first part of that, verses 34 through 40. And if you look at the context of the whole chapter, the Pharisees actually started out, there was a series of three questions. They were trying to trap Jesus. Jesus was in Jerusalem. He had come into Jerusalem, into the seat of power, and they were trying to catch him. They were trying to ensnare him. And last week, Pastor Steve talked about, helped us think more about when the Pharisees asked Jesus about paying taxes to Caesar, and he answered them. Then the Sadducees, the second in the series of three questions, asked Jesus about marriage after resurrection, once again trying to trap him. That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to get him. And then finally today, the Pharisees, having seen that Jesus silenced the Sadducees, they came back at him. An expert in the law, a lawyer, came to Jesus, and he asked him this question in verse 36. Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest? This was a setup. It was a setup of all setups. because in the rabbinic tradition, there were 613 individual commands in the law which were all to be equally obeyed and respected. And so they thought they had Jesus in a corner. They thought they had him there. But what Jesus responded was with a very basic response. One of the commands in the law that he said was the first command, which is love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And that actually he was quoting from a command in the law in Deuteronomy 6, verse 5. And the interesting thing about this, it was sort of very obvious, something that was very well known to the Pharisees. There's something called Shema, which Shema is a Hebrew word which means listen or hear. And if you go back and look at Deuteronomy chapter 6, in verse 4, it says this, hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. And then it says, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Actually, it says, and you should love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. So that first part is God, loving God. And it was something that was very basic to the Pharisees at that time. Then he followed it up without giving them a chance to respond at all. He said, and equally as important is you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And that's probably the harder one for many of us to deal with, right? We think to ourselves, it's one thing to love God with all our heart and with all our soul and all our mind. And then after he said that we should love our neighbor as himself, he said, that's it. That's all we need to know. That's everything. Everything is covered in those two things. So, like the Pharisees, we might say, we got it. Love God and love your neighbor. Right? We'd all raise our hands and say, amen, we got that, we understand that, Lord, we're going to do that. We'd stack hands, we'd lock arms, but then as we walk out of this place, oh, wait a second, you mean I have to do that out there? I have to love my neighbor out there when I leave this place? I don't know if I signed up for that when I became a Christian. Really, I'm supposed to do that? I don't know about you. But the whole loving your neighbor thing is difficult for me. I mean, I don't know what it is for you. It may be somebody at work, if you're working, and somebody in your workplace or your work group, or you just really have a very difficult time loving. Or maybe somebody who works at the place that you go to normally to shop. I don't know, maybe that's Cub or Menards or Walmart, wherever that may be. Somebody who you see, a cashier or checkout person who you just really have difficulty kind of connecting with. It's the difficult thing to do, isn't it? Loving somebody who is our neighbor. It may even be somebody in our extended family, right, who we have difficulty loving. I mean, none of us have dysfunction in our families, right? That may be difficult. It's a challenge for us to do, to love our neighbors as ourselves. At the heart of this greatest commandment that Jesus told the Pharisees and is telling us, at the heart of it is love. That's the heart of worship as well, how we love. And the challenge for us here is how we view love. When you hear the word, I don't know what you think of, but what Jesus is talking about in this great commandment is love that involves a commitment. It's love that is intentional. In one Bible commentary, it says this, and it's a little bit long, but I want to read it because I think it does a great job. It says, in an age when the word love is greatly abused, it is important to remember that the primary component of biblical love is not affection, but commitment. Warm feelings of gratitude may fill our consciousness as we consider all that God has done for us, but it is not warm feelings that Deuteronomy 6:5 demands of us, but rather stubborn, unwavering commitments. Similarly, to love our neighbor, including our enemies, does not mean that we must feel affection for them. To love the neighbor is to imitate God by taking their needs seriously. So where do you worship? Only on Sunday in this place, which is very, very important. Corporate worship is very important as the body of Christ. But what about outside these walls? Can we worship at McDonald's, in our car, at our school, if you're still in school, at work, at the Anoka Ice Center? And the list goes on, because we can worship anywhere that we're at throughout the week, can't we? For many of us, I think the common place where some of us spend a fair amount of time is in our cars, right? Whether you commute to and from work, or you're going on errands, or going to visit family, or we spend a lot of time in our vehicles. Oh, and by the way, when we're driving in our vehicles, guess who we're amongst? We're amongst our neighbors. There are neighbors all around us as we're driving on the highways. You know, one of the things that we all can do, it's a very simple thing, when you think about worship, when you're driving in your car, is simply to turn the radio off and spend time to listen to God and notice His creation. That might be a starting place for some of us. Or perhaps maybe when one of your neighbors cuts you off in traffic as you're driving, that you don't respond how you might like to respond, and just step back and think, thank you, God. I mean, that person is a creation of yours. You love that person. So help me to love that person as well. Part of your creation. And how do you worship? I mean, do you worship in addition to here? Do you worship at home in a particular place, doing a devotional with your Bible? Worship is not something necessarily that's passive. It's active, ongoing, recognizing that God is always present. He's always here. The kingdom of God is at hand. It's not just here in this place, but beyond these walls as well. Sometimes I think the simplest thing for most of us is to have worship music on. For some of us, that's kind of a spiritual pathway that we connect best with God and worship with Him, right? I was coming into work a couple weeks ago, and I park on a side street here. It's kind of easier to come in and head out where I come from when I commute. And I had a worship song on my iPod into my car, so I pulled aside, turned the car off, and it was just, I had to finish the song, so I just closed my eyes, car was off, and I was just kind of worshiping, and song was over. I opened my eyes, there was Pastor Mark. He had come out to go to the mailbox and then go back in. I'm like, what must he be thinking? I never said anything to him, he never said anything to me, maybe he didn't notice. Oh, and by the way, if that's one way that you worship, I would really encourage you that if you have worship music on and you're going 65 or 70 down Highway 10 or 35W, don't close your eyes, you know, and worship, really deep worship. And don't put your hands up in praise. That may not be good. That may not work. Might help for us as we think about worshiping on an ongoing basis to memorize some scripture. And I'd like for us to read this, if we could, together out loud. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. It's Colossians 3:17. So here's our challenge for all of us. In the next 7 days, I want for all of us to try something that challenges us to worship on a regular basis. Could be a very small thing that you do in wherever you live, wherever you're at, the places and spaces of your life. That may be in your car, maybe at work, maybe at the store, maybe at home, maybe at the soccer field or the hockey rink, at your favorite restaurant, wherever you are, that's where God is at. And most likely, there are some neighbors there who you can love. You know, as I was driving in this morning, it was dark, and I had the radio off, and I was trying to practice what I preach and just noticing God's creation. The stars in the sky, and then I noticed that there were some wispy clouds. It was kind of hard to see because it was dark, and they were sort of shrouding some of the stars. And I just thought of God's magnificent creation, about how He made all those stars. He named them. He knows exactly each one, just like He knows us. And I was just marveling at His goodness and worshiping Him. And then as I drove along, there was a worship song, just a couple phrases that came into my head, and I just started singing them and repeating them over and over, and it was a good way for me to worship, at least this morning, as I was coming in. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, O my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your